How many know that we have to walk as believers? We have to walk as believers. Our minds are the imagery of what we see and how we apply to what we know from the living God. Amen. Glory to God. I'd like to share with you this morning from the living room of God and from the holy room of God, the teaching that we had been inspired by the word of God. We had talked about last week, getting back to the Bible. Getting back to the Bible. When we get back to the Bible, that means we get back to the center of things in life. Amen. As we said last week, there are many things that we have understanding about and things that we know about and things that we fully understand. But what we must understand is the Bible. The Bible is where we live. The Bible is where we move. And that's where our being is from, because we are what? Kingdom people. We are kingdom people. So today we're going to be dealing with getting back to the Bible. And the subtitle today is God-centered living. We want to talk about God-centered living. Somebody say God-centered living. No, say like you mean that you are living in the Bible. Say God-centered living. Somebody else need to hear you somewhere else other than me. Say it loud. God-centered living. That means you really understand that you're going to live in the center of God. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So God-centered living. God-centered living means that we must live in the center of the love of Christ, that we must live in the word of God, and that we must live the way God desires for us to live. As I heard this morning, there are many things going on in the world, and people being easily moved because of what they see and how they feel. Many people are fickle. Some are up and some are down. Most people say, I'm in, but when you look around, they're out. Where are they out of? They're out of the center of living the life of God. Do you hear that? In the name of Jesus. So if a person tells you that I can make it on my own, you better tell them something that hopefully they will hear, that they cannot make it on their own. No one can make it without God, I'm telling you. You may look like you're making it without God and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, but you're only going to make it so far. You're only going to make it so far. So a God-centered life, a God-centered living, is living according to that which God says how we ought to live. The Bible speaks to us, and he tells us that we are what? In the world, isn't that right? We're in the world, but not of the world. So we live in this world, Brother Rudy, but some are still living according to the world. So when we live in the world, but we're not of the world, so that means we got to learn how to live in the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? You're living in the world, physical, tangible in the world, but you don't live to the world ways, the world problems, the world complexity, the world ups and downs. You live according to the kingdom of God. Why is that? Because you now are a citizen of the kingdom. Isn't that right? The Bible says that all things are what? Passed away. All things become new. So if it's passed away and then now you enter into the kingdom of God, you have to learn new ways. Isn't that right? You have to learn new ways because you have been taught the old ways so many years of your life. Now you have to learn, Brother Arnold, the new ways of life. That means there's a purging consistently that has to take place in the life of them that were in the world, but now you're introduced into a different lifestyle, which is a kingdom lifestyle, and so therefore there's a different type of learning. Do you hear that? Somebody say, I'm willing to learn. Say it like you mean it. Say, I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to learn. You got to be willing to learn. I got to be willing to learn how to live a God-centered life. And the way we live a God-centered life is understanding that God's word is the inspiring word. And God gave humanity in print form as it is in your book. He gave his word, he gave his being, he gave his spirit in print form that we may understand him in the magnificence and the beauty of his holiness, that we may understand him in his ways. What ways does God do, and how does God work, and how does God move? We must understand him in how he does these things. And when we understand how he does these things, then that means we're living a God-centered life. We're living a God-centered, God-controlled life. How many of you believe that? And then we must understand God's character. What is the character of God? God has so many characters. God has so many characters. His character is love. His character is chastising you. God is a father, isn't he right? He says that he chastised them that he loves. God is a God of discipline. God is a God of obedience. God is a God of royalty. God is a God of deity. God is a God of healing. God is a God of stretching you when you don't want to be stretched. Isn't that right? Because God knows what you can handle and what you cannot handle in the name of Jesus. And some things in life we say that we can't handle it, but God says I already gave you ability to handle the things that you think you can't handle. Amen. So living a God-centered life means that you live according to the will of God and not according to the will that you think you ought to live in the name of Jesus. And thirdly, we discussed last week his power, the power of God, the power of God. We have no power. We have no power in our own right. But God desires that we're living a God-centered life and living a life to the will of God. He worketh in us the power of his glory. Do you see that? God worketh in us the power of his glory to when he needs to get things done for his purpose and not ours. How many know that God uses us for his purpose? We are purposely used by God for his purpose to get done in this earth. So we must understand the power of God. God has so much power that he did not give man the power that he possessed. Amen. He did not give man the power that he possessed, because if it was, we'll be zapping people when they don't look at us right. Do you hear that? Zip, you're dead. Amen. God doesn't give man that type of power. But what we need to understand, the power that he has and the power that he allows us to function in and to move in for his purpose, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, that we function in the power of God for the manifestation of those things that he desires to accomplish. Do you see that? He desires to accomplish. God desires to accomplish so much in us that we must understand everything about God. So getting back to the basics, getting back to the Bible, God-centered living. So what we must do and where we will go, it always starts where? In the beginning. How many know if you want to understand something, you got to go to the beginning? If you really want to get the full intent and the full story, you have to go where? To the beginning. Somebody say the beginning. The beginning. I must understand the beginning. So we have in the book of Genesis, go to the book of Genesis chapter 12 with me this morning. Would you be so kind? And we want to speak from the glory of God and let God touch our hearts this morning, that we would know that we are living a God-centered life, a God-centered life. The book of Genesis, it gives us account on how God establishes and accomplishes his purpose through mankind. It gives us these things, how God, not man, but how God, the anointed one, the glorious, the glory divine maker, how he establishes and accomplishes his purpose through mankind. He gives us examples and account on how God used and functioned through Abraham. God used Abraham to call him the seed of the nations of Israel. He used this man Abraham and he called him the father of many. But it was God who used Abraham. It wasn't Abraham that used God. Do you see that? You can't use God for your own purpose. Do you see that? God uses you for his purpose. His purpose. So you can't get that backwards. Amen. We got to know that it's centered around God. Now, you heard this before and you've seen this before, but I want us to get back to the Bible. Get back to the center. Get back to what God desires for his people. Amen. He desires for his people to be strong. He desires for his people to walk in might. He desires for his people to know who he is, that you may know who you are in him, and that you can accomplish the very things that he said that you can accomplish. Isn't that right? Does that make you a strong people? Yeah. Does that make you a strong people? Say, I am a strong people. You got to be excited to know that God calls you a strong people in the name of Jesus. Man, I'm excited about this. Regardless of what it looks like, it may seem like, it may smell like, it may feel like, but I know who God is in my life. He made me strong. He made me capable, and he made me able to do things that I know I cannot get done myself. That way you know you got the power and the center of the love of God inside of you. Yes. Because there are days, as First Lady said, the days that we're living in, many are falling away. They look like they're there. They may, the statures and the status, how they stand and what they wear and the colognes and the clothes and the cars that they drive. They may look like they're there, but they are falling away from the love of God because things have more of their desire and more of their attention to their falling away. They're not living the God-centered life. And God desires for us to speak everything that he speaks out of his mouth. Do you hear that? First Lady said the other day when we was out on our, I guess you call it, we call it a date. We had a little quiet time. And she says, honey, we will continue to begin to speak everything that God says in spite of what it looked like. We're going to speak what God said, because when you speak what God says, it brings life. It brings life. And too much of the world, we speak what the world say till we don't bring the life of God. If we're kingdom people, living the kingdom way, living the kingdom lifestyle, we have to speak life. Do you hear that? Glory to God. You have to speak the life that God has given unto you on the inside. Speak life. Be vibrant in the things of God. Hold your head up. Walk proud, knowing that you have a king that's on your side. Say, the king is in me. Today, I'm letting them out. Rule, king. Rule, king. See, the king wants to rule, but you got to let him out. That's the same token as life is. You see the commercial, and we know Jack in the Box. You got Jack in the Box. But see, Jack always tries to fight to get out of the box, because Jack can't move in the box. Jack stay in the box, he becomes weak. He becomes feeble. He can't do anything. Or you could say a Jackalette. Not just a him being one way. You could say Jack or Jackalette in the box. So you got them in the box, and Jack is in the box. But Jack all the time want to come out of that box. Know how I know Jack want to come out the box? So when the wheel turns and it turns and turns, and something in your life like wheel turns and something turns, that means the wheel turns till we get the revelation. And then the box open. And when the box open, we come out the box all kind of wild because we've been boxed up. But when we come out the box and we come all kind of ways, we got to learn which way to go. Because when you come out the box, notice when Jack, you seen the little Jack in the box, amen? How many of you seen that? When Jack come out the box, Jack wiggle all kind of ways. But Jack has to be taught not to wiggle all kind of ways. Because if you wiggle all kind of ways, the Bible says, an unstable man. If you're unstable in your ways, that means you won't know the way of God. You got to wiggle the right way, and that's wiggling the way that God wants you to wiggle, and that's the straight way. The straight way, wiggle with God, going straight. Straight into love in the center of God. Do you see that? Now let's read this here in Genesis chapter 12. From the glory of God, verse 1. We got to know the beginning to understand the God-centered life. It says, now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will what show thee. God is showing us. He wants us to open our eyes to see. Clearly, 2 says, and I will make of thee a what great nation, and I will bless thee. Notice that it says God is in the I will business. Do you see that? He say, I will show thee. Who's going to show you the best way? God. Living a God-centered life shows you the best way. And then he says, I will make the you can't make yourself. God makes you. Don't promote yourself. Don't try to put yourself on the pedestal. God will make you because he makes you able. He makes you able. Look at this. He said, I will make of thee a great nation. And then not only that, he said, I will bless thee and make what? Thy name great. He said, I will make you, but not only that, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make what? Your name great. Say, I have greatness in my name because I'm made by God. You have greatness inside of you because you're made by God. It's God who made you and God who created you and God who blesses you. Living the God-centered life is the best life that we should live and want to live because God made us and he makes our name great. Not great where you're on the billboard and you're in the limelight, but your name is great because your name is written in the book of life. Do you see that? It's written in the book of life by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Your name is great. And your name is so great till your last name is truly what? Overcomer. 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 Say, I'm an overcomer because my name is great. You got to be excited about your name. You got to be excited about God made your name great. And the way we know about this is living the God-centered life. A God-centered life. Not a life that we want to live. Because we've done that so many years of our life. We are still being purged from things in our life. Things that we held on to. Things that we sometimes don't know how to let go. But God says, let it go so you can move forward in the center of the life that I have for you, that you will understand who you truly are, because I want to bless you. And when I bless you, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make your name great. And then he goes, verse 2 again, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Do you see that? Living a God-centered life is not by your own means. It's by the means of God that you will be a blessing to them that just don't understand God. Do you see that? You are living a life because God had made you. God created you. God blessed you, and he made your name great. He made your name great that you may be a blessing unto them that don't even know who he is. You got to introduce God to other people. Do you see that? How do you know when you go somewhere and it's the first time and you may know the people in the room or the people at the dinner or the people at the party or wherever you may go at the game, but you come up and you say, I'd like to introduce you to Elders White. See, some people never have been introduced to Jesus. Do you see that? They may have been introduced to Jesus in a different fashion, in a different form, but not the true form, who he is. Do you see that? How many know that God is a God of love, like? And some people come to and introduce Jesus in the name of, well, you shouldn't do this. God will do this and you shouldn't do that in the name of Jesus. But you got to show the love of God. To get people's attention, you got to show that God is love. And in love is God. Do you see that? Because you live a God-centered life. People will never want to be introduced to God if you don't show that he is a loving God. But on the side of that, when they become to know who he is and his character, his ways, and his power, then he'd be able to purge them from the things that they're living in the world. Because now he's showing them, you live this way in the world that I created for you because you're no longer existing in that type of life. Do you hear that? That means you're going up and way up to where God blesses you. And your name is great in the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus. It's exciting to me to live a God-centered life. Living a God-centered life doesn't mean that you have a perfect life. But you have a life perfected in the things of Jesus. That you're constantly dying to yourself daily. That you're constantly looking for the perfected will of God to perform in your life. And you constantly want to be around those that have the same mindset, understand the same concept, understand the same will, understand the same purpose. I want to do great exploits in the name of Jesus. That's a God-centered life. That's why he says, separate yourself from among them. Them that don't want to live the God-centered life. Them that don't love God. Them that don't care for God. Them that don't fear God. Them that don't have a reverence for God. Them that don't worship God in spirit and in truth. Separate yourself from among them. Now, some people think because I separate myself from among them, who do I think? God says, you're not nobody. But when you separate yourself, then you know who you are in the body. Do you see that? You're not nobody because you say you separate yourself from somebody. But you become to understand who you are in the body when you can separate yourself from them, first lady, that's in the world. You become to understand that you are part of the body of Christ. You're part of the kingdom of glory. Do you see that? And so Abraham had to obey God. Because if Abraham didn't obey God, he would have had a selfish life and not a God-centered life. He would never got blessed. His name would not be great and he would not be a blessing to people. That's why you and I must obey God. Because I want to be blessed by God through you. And I pray that you can be blessed by God through me. That we can be a blessing to one another. That we can bless other people. Do you see that? That's the will of God. And that's what God desires in his people. And he says, I will make of thee. The world can't make of you. He says, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them. Here it is. And I will bless them that would bless you. Do you see that? I will bless them that will bless you. I desire to live a God-centered life that I may bless you and that God will bless me and that you will bless me and God will bless you. Do you see that? Living a God-centered life, meaning that you will be blessed by God when you understand God is the blessing giver. Do you see that? Living the God-centered life, he says, and I will bless them that bless thee. If I bless you with the word of truth, living a God-centered life, teaching you the right way and the will of God, then that is a blessing. Do you see that? And if you will be upheld the right citizens of the kingdom of God, teaching people the truth about the word of God, living according to God's way and not the world way, then you are blessed people. And then many people will bless you because you don't fall for the common fray of the world's way. Do you see that? In the name of Jesus. And then it says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. So what is he saying? Living a God-centered life, you and I should not be concerned about what somebody else does and how they move outside of the kingdom of God where we live. Do you hear that? We live in a place where the kingdom of God always brings correction. It brings love. It brings prosperity. It brings peace. It brings hope. It brings joy. It brings healing. It always brings the good things. Do you see that? Because the kingdom of God says, think on these things above and not beneath. The kingdom of God is above all things. Why is that? Because he says God is in the heavens. And whereas Jesus, he's seated at the right hand of the Father on high. So if he's up in heaven, guess where we are? We're in heaven with him as though we walk in the earth. Do you see that? But we have to know that we're in heavenly places, living a God lifestyle, living a kingdom lifestyle, ruled by the king. See, there are two kings. There's a king of light and there's a king of darkness. And people can be ruled by either or. But then we have to make a decision on which king do we want to humble ourselves to. Because Jesus said in the word of God, he says, when he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, soon as he came out, he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. But see, some people think because you're in the wilderness that you're weak. No, in the wilderness you can become strong. And I heard First Lady say this morning, if you're in the desert and there's nobody around, if you're all by yourself and nobody's around, what would you do? Who would you lean on? Who would you call on? Where is your strength in the wilderness of your life? See, if you don't understand the God-centered life and know that God created you and blessed you and made your name great, that you may be a blessing unto many people who experience the wilderness of life, but you be in the same place they are, but your light is shining. Your strength is coming from the glory of God. And you're standing upright, trusting in God. In spite of the weather, in spite of the storm, in spite of the darkness, that you're standing, believing, trusting God. Holy name, holy name. You're trusting in him. Do you see that? And so he was in the desert. And the adversary, the kingdom of darkness, came to him and presented to him the life that he wanted him to live. Notice he said, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all these things. All these things. What are you looking for? That's the question. Are you looking for things or are you searching for God? See, many people are looking for things, and in things there is no God. Because he says, thou shalt worship no other God beside me. Many people are worshiping things. But see, things can have a person and God can't get to you because your focus is on the thing. But Jesus came back with the word of God because he had a God-centered life. He began to speak to the kingdom of darkness because he was from the kingdom of light. And he said these words, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what proceed is? Those things that God spoke before we was able to speak them. It was already there in existence. So we just got to gravitate to what God had already spoken. It was there. Some of us are just catching up with what God had already said. But that's not a bad thing to do. Because you caught up. And when you catch up, that means that you caught the revelation to what God said about you in that area of your life. That's not a bad place to be. That's a place of graduation. That's a place of humility, understanding that the power of God is more powerful than you in your own right. Do you hear it? In the name of Jesus. And so we continue to focus on this. The focus of this is that God's relationship is not about Abraham's walk with God. It wasn't about Abraham's walk with God, even though Abraham was obedient to God. But catch this. It's really not about our walk with God all the time, but it is about God accomplishing his purpose through us as we walk. Do you see that? Many get it sometime twisted or not have a better understanding. It's not always about your walk with God, but it's about God accomplishing his purpose as we continue to move with God. Do you see that? Because everything is about the purpose of God working in us. What is it that God desires to get out of us? Elder said it this morning, and he had to face it his own self. Sometime he said this morning, I do believe that God, I'm not doing everything that you require me to do. It's more that I must do. And see, that's a place where you yourself have to understand where you are. Yes, we walk with God, but it's not always about us walking with God. It's about the purpose that God wants to use and work through us as we walk. Do you hear that? What are you carrying? And when you carry it, are you depositing it? Do you see that? Where are you leaving it? As you walk down the aisle, as you get married, and people have what they call rose petals, right? And when you walk down the aisle, they drop rose petals. So every step of the way, there's something being dropped. Do you hear that? And as we continue to walk with God in this world, there are some things that we have to drop off in different areas so people can pick them up. Do you hear that? For the glory of God, they got to pick it up. But first, they have to see it. How do they see it? They see it by you being used by God. They see it because your life is in the center of God's living lifestyle. That's how they see it, and then they can pick it up. They acknowledge it, that this is God. You know, in a place like this, if you're afraid to worship, if you're afraid to be challenged, if you're afraid to go into the Bible, then you will not want to be a part of a place that's true. They're going to show you yourself when you don't want to see yourself. Somebody say Joker. No, say it. Say Joker. See, there's no jokers here. Do you hear that? In Gotham City, how many seen the movie Batman? In Gotham City, there are all kind of criminals. Do you see that? There are some dressed up criminals. There are some criminals that got good, nice hairstyles. Do you see that? There are some criminals that got nice cars and nice homes. Even in Gotham City, there are mayors, renowned. Do you see that? And even in Gotham City, they call them commissioners. One was named Commissioner Gordon. But before Commissioner Gordon became to be a true man of God, he lived a crooked lifestyle. Do you see that? So in the world that we live in, if I can use the analogy, there's a lot of people in Gotham. And Gotham is a place where there's much crime. There's many criminals. There's so many things going on. But then they had one that came up. His young name was Bruce Wayne. There was a Bruce Wayne in the city. But see, Bruce Wayne was young and didn't understand his ability. He didn't understand his authority. His parents were killed at a young age, and he saw his parents killed. See, if you see something in your life dying, don't stop. Move forward in it. Because Bruce Wayne was holding on to the past, and he was not being able to release in the fullness that God has given him for the ability to help people in the city. Glory to God. See, you got to get past your own life, your own problem, because there are people in the city that you got to help. Somebody say, help me out of Gotham. No, say it like this. Help me out of Gotham. See, we need help out of Gotham, because Gotham is a place of darkness where evil rules, where evil reigns. And see, it tries to intertwine with the light of God, but it can't get through because it's so dark. And as many people in the darkness of life. But there was one Bruce Wayne. But see, Bruce Wayne didn't understand, like God wanted him to understand, how he was to be a part of Gotham to help Gotham come back to reality of life. But see, God always has somebody to help you. Say, help me. See, God always have a paraclete, one to walk beside you. And the one to walk beside young Bruce Wayne, his name was Alfred. But see, Alfred was not just a butler. Alfred was a man of wisdom. Alfred was a man of tactics. Alfred was a man that knew how to strategize against the evil forces that which come up against Bruce Wayne and Bruce Wayne's household. Do you see that? See, some of us need to go back and say, help me, Alfred. Alfred, show me the way. Give me wisdom. Acknowledge what I cannot do. But you've been there. And see, Alfred opposes something like a Jesus Christ. He was like a Christ. He was like a Christ. He was like, in the book of Nehemiah, he was like a cupbearer. Before things went to Bruce Wayne, Alfred always stood in, because he didn't want the life of Bruce Wayne to be taken, because he seen the glory and the goodness that was inside of him. But see, sometimes Bruce Wayne didn't see what Alfred saw. And see, we sometimes don't see what God sees. We don't see the goodness and the power and the glory that God sees in us. We let the world dictate to us because Goffman was telling Bruce Wayne, "Your kid, you need to go home. What do you have to do with this?" Bruce Wayne had what God wanted him to have. He had all the strength. But not only the strength, he had the ability, because God gave his family ability and wealth to do some things that Gotham could not do themselves. See, God has positioned us, and we must understand how to live in the center of where God positioned us. I hope this helping somebody, because all of us have a Gotham in our life. It may not be a whole bunch of people that's in the same city of your own Gotham. It may be a husband and wife in that own city. It may be two or three in that city, but everybody have a Gotham in their life. There are dark places in your life, but God wants you to come out the dark places to be in the light. Do you see that? Say, "I'm the light, shining bright." You a bright light, amen? So there is no darkness that we ought to stay in, because the love of God and the center of God. See, in a place where light is, you got to want to be in the light. You got to want to love the light. You got to want the light of change and not the dark things. Dark things are things by your emotions. God has given us emotions, but he hasn't given us emotions to be fickle. God gives us emotions because we have to feel things. Do you see that? That's a part of your five senses. So we do have those. But some are overpowered and not letting the word of God overpower them to where your emotions become your compassion to move for change. Do you see it? So my prayer is for this ministry, you as a people, to get in the center of God's love and come out of your Gotham. Come out of the dark places, because God doesn't like to see you in the dark. He wants you in the light. He says, "I am the light. I am bright. I one that gives you the walkways of life. I'm the lamp unto your feet. Follow the brightness of the walk that I give unto you." That's God. That's God-centered life. Living the God-centered life. When you live the God-centered life, it's not just about what you speak, it's about how you move according to God. Do you hear that? And God loves his people when we can trust him in the way that he wants us to trust. So we're going to continue. And continue to move forward in these things. Somebody say, getting back, to the Bible. Say, getting back, to the Bible. Say, I need to be in the Word. You need to be in the Word. And that's getting back to the Bible. That's getting back to the place where God desires for us to be. Now go with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 2. See, it always have to get back to the beginning. The beginning tells us the truth, where we start and how we start, that we may understand our middle. Do you hear that? Do you start off reading the book at the end? You have to know the beginning, because before you get to the end, you got to know how to maneuver. Do you hear it? Glory to God. Is anybody excited this morning? Is anybody excited this morning? Or are you really excited about God? And the way that he covers us. He's a powerful God. They says he's a wonder-working power. That's who he is. So let's focus on God in the Bible. God deals with sin, but God doesn't like us to hinge on sin. But how many know that God would never stop talking about sin? He will always talk about sin, but he never will hinge on sin, because he wants you to get over the sin nature. That's why he always brings it to our remembrance, because it's subtle. Sin is subtle. Sin can come up on us easily. Sin is always what? Knocking at the door, seen where each and every one of us stand in the name of Jesus. Genesis chapter 2, are you there? And this is where we begin to see where it was this morning. I heard this morning with a fall. In Genesis chapter 2, let's pick it up in the 16th verse. In the 16th verse. Are you there? Say, I'm in the Bible. Where are you? Can anybody else hear you? Where are you? In the Bible. You're in the Word of God. You're in the center of the living room of God, where everything is expressed. Nothing is kept secret from you. Because he says, I invite you in to sit at my table. And when we sit at the table of God, everything is expressed. God doesn't hide anything from us like we do when we sit at the table. We're smiling in the face all the time when we take somebody else's place. But see, God is not a backstabber. God brings things to the forefront that we don't have to stab people in the back. Glory to God. God lives in the opposite of what the world lives in. But we have to see it how he says for us to see it. And it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest what freely eat. He says, from every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. God says, every tree in this garden, you can eat of it. I'm not hiding anything from you. I'm not keeping nothing back from you. But every tree you can eat. But then it says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, God exposes things to us as he invites us in his living room. Do you see it? Living in the center of God's love. Living in the center of God's will. God says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, but of this, you can eat of any tree you want. But he says, there's some things that I want you to stay away from. Do you hear it? Just like in our life right now today, there are trees that you and I may be eating from. But God has told us not to eat from them trees. Do you see that? But the tree looks so good, Brother Simmons. The tree looks so good, Elder White. The tree is so flushes and it's green and the fruit is so vibrant. I got to take a bite. But God says, of the tree of good and the tree of evil, he says, thou shalt not eat of it. God says, there's a reason why I don't want you to eat from that tree. And see, many people today living in this life, in the world that we live in, are still eating. I have ate, but never turned away and they're regurgitating, and they're still eating from the tree of that which is good and evil. Good and evil. But God says, thou shalt not eat. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. See, God is not talking a physical death. He's talking a spiritual death. He says, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die because your soul will never be saved. You keep eating of the same tree, your soul cannot be saved. And there are many people in the world right now that are still biting from the same tree that God told them from the beginning not to eat from. They're not physically dead, but they're spiritually dead because their soul is not being saved. They're not living in the center of Jesus Christ, the love of God. They're afraid to worship in the house of God because of their soul is not being saved. So God told us from the beginning, don't eat from that. But many are still biting the substance of that. That's why they can't get up in a timely manner. That's why they can't give their life over to Christ. That's why they are afraid to trust God in the magnitude that God wants them to trust him. And they stay in the same place where they are. But God designs for them to move on. But they can't move on because they're still eating from that same tree. The tree that brought death. But see, God is not a God of death. But God warns us about death. God teaches us that outside of me, you can't live. Outside of me, you really can't move. Outside of me, your being doesn't exist. Do you hear it? So God is telling and teaching. See, getting back to the Bible, understanding the very thought of God. The Bible says the word of God is inspired. It's the inspired word of God. It's the breath of God. It's the pneuma of God. It's God breathing upon the inspired word that he gave it and put it in written context that we may read and understand. It's in the simplest forms. God's word is not complicated. We make it complicated by not spending time just reading what he says and how he says it and what he wants us to do with what he says. Do you see that? And so he says, but thou, that means but you, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge is the education level of an individual. Having the knowledge, but not having the revelation. See, there are many people got knowledge about God, but don't have the revelation of God. Having the knowledge of God, but not having the revelation about God. Meaning, I know, but I really don't have the revelation. I know, but I don't have the revelation. Do you hear it? And then there's evil. The evil part is, I don't care what God says or what he do and how he does it, I'm still going to be evil. I'm going to be evil. I'm going to do what I want to do, regardless of what God says. Do you hear that? And that's how people die. That's how they die to themselves. Their soul never gets saved. But they live. A question was asked, and why is it that good things happen? Bad things happen to good people. And then the question is, why does bad things happen to good people? And why does good things happen to bad? I don't know. Only God knows. Only God knows. But we shouldn't be concerned about that. Because we serve a good God. And whichever way it goes, it's all good. Do you see it? In the name of Jesus. I'm not concerned about that. See, I can try to answer that question and I don't have that answer because that's not what God has given me the answer to that. But if you live in according to God, everything is good. Because you see, all things work together for the good of them that are called according to what? His purpose. Now, some people, good things happen to bad people because that's only the good that they're going to get here on earth. There ain't nothing good going to happen because they're not going to go to heaven. So they're getting all their treasures right here on earth. Do you see it? They're getting all their joy. They're getting all the things that they desire right now. Because it's no more. Do you hear it? It's no more. It's no more. And so we see this right here. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 3. We're dealing with the beginning, being in what? The center. Genesis chapter 3. Let's further at verse 1. Verse 1. Are you there? It says, Now the serpent. Old slick rascal right there, right? It says, now the serpent was more what subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Which the Lord God had made. Do you see that? Now you would say, why did God make a serpent that's so subtle? God made something that want to take me out. But see, God gave you the wisdom in the beginning. He gave us the wisdom in the beginning, what we ought to look for and what will come our way. Look at this. He says, now the serpent was subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, ye have, God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, and neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So that tells me she had the knowledge of where that tree of good and evil was. See, God gives us the wisdom. He gives us the foreknowledge of what not to do. You can't tell me she didn't know, because she identified exactly where the tree of good and evil was. Isn't that right? See, we can see and identify what God tells us not to go, what God tells us not to do, but we still go and do it. Why is that? The reason why is because we're not living a God-centered lifestyle. We're living our selfish lifestyle. I want it, and nothing's going to stop me from getting it. I got to have it. Do you see that? She lived. She knew. She understood. I want you to see this again. Go back over to 12 so you can see what God had explained. Look at this. Go back over to 2. 17. But the tree. Look at this. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thou, therefore thou shalt surely die. And then you come back over to 3. And look at it, says. Verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden, God had said. Who said it? God said it, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So she had to know where that was. She had to know. God told her exactly what that tree was. And then 4 says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. How many know that's the world? That's the world. We're all saying, no, you can get away with it. God's going to turn his back. You can get away with it. That's the world. The world say you can get away with it and still have pleasure in the sight of God. That's the world. That's the world. So he was telling her, and the serpent said, and the world said, and the kingdom of darkness said, and the leader of the legions of doom said, you can put all those names in it, but it's Satan, accuser of the brother that don't want you to have life. Will say these things to you to try to coerce you from living the God-centered life. And it says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You can steal, rob, and cheat, and lie, and say that you love God and then go do something else. You can do this. You won't die. Your soul will be saved. That's not true. That's not true. See, we get all of these feebles. We be fed all of these lies. As it was with Paul when he was talking to Timothy and told Timothy, don't let no one despise you of your youth. He said, preach the word in season and out of season, Timothy. Hold the people accountable to the word of God. That God be for you, and who and what can be against you. See, we can't just be pleasure principle Christians living according to the way of the world and letting people just run through and in and out, up and down. And then we say, praise the Lord. No, that's not how God sees it. That's not how God sees it. God is a God of accountability. God is a God that wants to see your life expand. God is a God that wants you to live and not die. That's the God that we serve. And then he goes on to say, we're almost there. He says in 5, for God knoweth that in the day that ye therefore, that you eat therefore thereof, then your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. See, that's a lie. See how he comes to you? He says, God keeping that from you because he afraid you're going to be a God. How can you be a God when God created you in his image? You and I cannot be a God. But see, the world promotes us that we become gods in the sight of people. Do you hear that? They use the word, well, you're a platform artist. Now you become a God in the sight of people. People begin to worship you. And you forget who God and what God has done through you, because the purpose of God using you is for his purpose. And so now people are worshiping you and you forgot all about God. You take him out of the equation. You leave God out to where it becomes all about you. Do you see this? This is the tactic of the world. And see, this is why we desire to preach truth, live truth, and show people the truth. Where it is written in the word of God that they may gravitate not to man, but unto Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That they will stand in his righteousness and his glory and know who they are in the ability that God has desire for them. This is the truth of God, men and women. We're living in the days where people say, that's boring. God is never boring. God is never boring. I can tell you that he's never boring because you don't know what he's going to do. 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, even 30 seconds from now, he is not boring. He can blow your mind as soon as you stand up. God can drop something in your spirit. God can get a phone call to something you've been waiting on, and God will blow your mind right then and there. The bank can send you something that your debt, your house is paid off in full. God can do anything that he desires to do. And it's all going to be for your good. Do you hear it? That's the will and that's the way of God. And so he continues to go on and say, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes. See, everything that you look at, brothers and sisters, just because it looked good, don't mean that it's good. Everything that you see, because it's big and it's wide and it's a lot there, don't mean that it's good. Not until you get in the midst of it. But see, the revelation of a difference, you can be in the midst of it, and the midst of what you're in is in you, because you won't see the difference. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. I'm going to say that again. You can be in the midst of it. It may look good, and you can be in the midst of it. But see, you wouldn't recognize the difference of it because the midst of it is in you. What do you mean? The truth is not in you, so therefore you gravitate to the lie and believe the lie because it's not in you. Because if the truth is in you, you'll be in the midst of it. You say, wait a minute, this is not real. It looks good from a distance, but is it real? It's not real. It's not real. And so here again it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. See, this is the point right here, and we'll close. And Jesus' tarrying is coming. We'll pick it up next week. The point right here If God spoke to you and told you something not to do, it doesn't matter who's close to you. I don't care who they are. God told you not to do it. See, he failed not to continue to live a God-centered life. We're learning from him. I'm not condemning him, but he is there to teach us. He was living a God-centered life because God put him in the garden, trusted him to take care of everything, gave him everything he desired. He wanted for nothing in the garden. Only two things God says that you can't have in this garden and eat from the tree of good and evil. It's over there. But see, this is the point. When God tells us not to do something, it doesn't matter who's close to you. Because that's the moment your emotions get in it and you forget about the compassion, the love, and the will of God and the desire of God for your life to be saved. So she brought it to him. See, people are going to bring things to you. But if you're not sure that you're living in the center of God's love and living a God-centered lifestyle, then you partake of the same thing that God told you not to partake of because they brought it to you. And it looks good. But God desires for you not to take that, brothers and sisters. See, God wants us to be true. Not perfect, but true. Not emotional, but have compassion for the love of God. See, it wasn't enough for just Abram to walk with God. It was God's purpose being functioning through him. It's not enough for you and I just to walk with God. But it's God's purpose working through us as we continue to look to God. Coming out of our own selves and entering to God. Holy and righteous is he. The power of God resides in what he says in his ability to accomplish. You have what God says that you have. You're the owners and possessors of it. The world desires to take it away from you. But God has made it true to you and me alike that he's compacted his word in our very being when he created us from the dust of the ground. It was something that God put inside of us that the world don't even understand. But for us to really come in contact with it, we have to understand him. We have to understand his ways, his character, and his power. Great and mighty is he that worketh in you to see all things come together for his glory. That none of us will go lacking or wanting anything. God desires that we work out what God put before us. See, the mind. He says the renewing of the mind, the mental state, the mental functions of the mind. The mind is like a camera. It has a data bank that it holds things. And we only have the key to go back in those data banks and open up that we can see the imagery of our past. But see, God doesn't want us to open up the imagery of our past. He wants us to unlock the imagery of our future and our present. Do you hear that? Because in our now, there's greatness. In our future, there's glory. In our now, there's greatness. In our future, there's glory. So let's operate in the now that we can see the glory of God. As we continue to move forward, trusting him, obeying the will of God, asking God to strengthen us even the more. He did say that your latter days will be greater than your former days. That's in the Word of God. And see, I am reminded in the book of Nehemiah that Nehemiah was a governor, but he was a governor of righteousness. He was a governor of peace. The city was laying in ruin, but he went to the king and asked the king for a decree that I must go and complete what my father had built but is now laying in ruin. See, God has called us together because there are some things laying in ruin, and we have to go and complete it and build it back up. The walls are torn down. The fences are looking bad. The grass and the lawn is not taken care of. But God wants us to rebuild, to make the city back vibrant, to make people's life full of joy, hope, and peace again. How many know that he's coming again? He's coming again. And in his coming, every step of the way, I do believe, things getting better. It may seem that it's getting worse, but it's getting better. Because when he comes, it'll all be done. And we are part of the preparation of that. In the name of Jesus. So I applaud you this morning for your love for Jesus. And that your hearts go out for the love of God.